Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Phil and Will are back, and Survivor Barstool Season 3, Episode 5 is in the books. I feel like we just did this, and we're back again. I'm excited. I'm excited that this is an every night thing, although it really reminds me why I don't do this with Big Brother. Because when people are doing that literally every day with those live streams and stuff for 100 days, I couldn't do this for 100 days, Will. But I'm enjoying it right now, even if this was the least I laughed at an episode, and that might have made me upset. I didn't laugh. I didn't cry. I didn't laugh. I just kind of watched it. Almost felt like real Survivor, which I don't know if I liked. What'd you think?
I mean, yeah, definitely, you know, the weakest of the five episodes so far. But I mean, one of the episodes has to be the worst out of the five, and here we are. And this is actually kind of happens too in a normal Survivor, where it's like you kind of get off to a hot start, you meet everybody, everyone's making moves, and then you kind of settle in right before the merge. You often get some more predictable boots and not as much chaos. Also, no controversy at the challenge. Everyone seemed to be okay with the rules and the producers, and no yelling at Jeff. So I kind of missed out on that more than anything. But I think there's still some things to break down and go over all the permutations of
the permutations. Man,
that was the funniest part of the episode to me.
That was killing me. And what really this really put into perspective for me was there is a man working for a gigantic company like Barstool who thought the word was permutations his entire life, and he's super successful. Like that's America, baby. like he literally didn't know the word was permutations. And when permutations was said to him, it wasn't, oh, that's right, that's the word. It was, I really thought it was permutations.
It's like, what? Really? Well, it's funny because a lot of the Barstool guys are like Northeast and kind of have an accent. I mean, you hear like a New York accent from all the guys, or a Boston accent. Like Dave has a pretty thick New England accent. He always has idea, you know, who had that like R in. And, you know, Rico has an accent as well. And if you ever listen to him on anything, you can tell and you know that he has an accent. So when this joke was first happening, I thought he was saying permutations and that the joke was just how often he kept saying the word, because that's funny in itself that he was just going up to every person being like, I don't know, I got to go through all these permutations here. And so I thought it was just his New England accent coming out. And then when PFT was like, wait, what word are you saying?
Yeah.
And he slowed it down for us and actually said permutation, saying every syllable. It just kind of was an add-on to what was already really funny, even if he was pronouncing it correctly.
It had one of the best, maybe a very underrated punchline. I don't know if people are going to realize how funny it was, but then when he does his confessional immediately after that, he says computations. He doesn't try to say permutations.
Yeah. He's like, I'm giving up on that word. It's gotten him for good.
It is. And I gotta just pull up a comment here, because this is what makes me happy. Wences Acosta, holy bleep, here's a channel I haven't thought about in a minute, haha. Welcome back, Wences, and yeah, Will's sitting there smiling at you, and we're talking about surviving Barstool, so we're hitting some sort of crossover here that is bringing people back from the dead. I think Wences Acosta, correct me if I'm wrong, but you probably haven't listened to this channel since preseason 40, but here we are. Here we are. We're back, and we're talking about permutations or computations, whatever's going to be easier to say. So you were saying that there's really no craziness going on in this challenge. They weren't yelling at each other and stuff like that. I do think where surviving Barstool is really going to work in the future, if they continue to do this and they keep getting bigger numbers, doing teams against each other with this competitive people is great. Because once they start playing with each other, it gets harder for them to have that mentality of, yo, you're an asshole and now we're going to attack. Let's all team up on Rico, or let's all team up on whoever. But I still like the challenge, but I love when they're going head to head against each other. And I do think that's going to be something that's missing for the rest of the game. It'll still be fun to watch them individually, but they really struck something with these guys going 5-on-5, 6-on-6, 7-on-7, and just like harassing each other the entire time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think it is more competitive once you get down to individual challenges, it's, yeah, you don't want to gang up on one person. I mean, there still is a big opportunity for two people to have like a really close horse race finish or some rule. Again, I really think it's with the rules and how they're set up, or what we do more penalties. And if they're hard to call, I think that's when they get really fired up, is when they think they've been cheated or when they think something's unfair. I mean, the bag dropping last episode, that's just the perfect thing to happen, because even though it was so obvious in that, of course, that team won the challenge, I forget which tribe it is, but it was up there for 9 or 10 seconds. The fact it drops, it just fires up everyone. They can all rally together and all complain, all start yelling. So that I think that is a good point where it might not be as fun.
We didn't really talk about that. The argument that Dave's team was trying to make was ridiculous. Of, oh, well, ours was up there for the same amount of time. Yeah, but yours wasn't the last bag. That was the stupidest argument ever. It fell off. Any other bag that fell off didn't count. And it was the last bag, so it could have been up there. Was it supposed to stay up there for the next 10 days?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, they're like taking the challenge down. They're like, oh, it dropped. Yeah. I mean, we were pretty much on it. Like, yeah, that's how Survivor goes. Jeff D'Lo's on it. Like, it was up there for plenty of time.
Yeah. So this one, they had the double elimination. They had a cut down. You know, there's only 5 days, and they're still, what, they probably have 2 days left or 3 days left, and there's still 10 people. So they got to really start sprinting through this game. So they decide, we're going to do double elimination. We're going to throw darts. Too simple, fun, not fun. I mean, this kind of reminded me of the coconut challenge, which was something.
This is a Survivor. Classic Survivor challenge, and you see it now all over reality TV. Mm-hmm. I think the problem here, and this might have been a time issue with knowing there's two tribal councils, I think you want to see each person going one at a time and throwing. Totally. So, like, if we're on a tribe, it's like, all right, Will, you're up, and let's say they give me 3 darts just to speed it up a little bit, like 3 darts and one person goes away, then give them 2. And then what's down the final 3 people, just everyone has 1 and you alternate. But it's like, see who I'm aiming at, because when every 5 people are throwing at once, we can't lock in and see like where they're aiming or what they're actually doing. Cause that's what you want. You want people like, why are you going after me? I saw you do that. It's like, no, I swear I missed. I wasn't aiming at you. I was aiming for this person. So I think that's something that could have helped kind of increase that tension. I mean, that one tribe, they even said a tribal, like, yeah, we all love each other. This is going to hurt. It almost sounded like some of these lame Survivor tribes that we get pre-merge, you know, it's like their first tribal and they haven't really started playing the game yet. Like, they actually were, even though some, you know, Steven was playing the game and KFC knew kind of what was happening with the votes, the 3-2. I don't know. It seemed like they all actually did like each other. So if that happens, you're kind of screwed. So, yeah, I mean, and on the other tribe, we knew where everyone was lying. I mean, we knew it was 2-3. We knew Tommy and Gaz were kind of on the outs against the other three. So I don't know. Maybe it's just an unlucky thing, or you do this a little bit earlier, or you do this once you merge with all 8, and then when we have 4-on-4, and then see who's flipping on their own people. Like, if Tommy's still mad at whoever on his own tribe, like Jerry or PFT or something, we can see that versus going after somebody else. I don't know. I think, you know, you can't have a slam dunk on every single challenge.
Yeah, no. And I agree with you with how the operation of this went. I was just staring at the bottom. They were throwing darts, and I think it removed the funniness of this, because at the end, then when it was Jerry versus Rico, I'm watching Jerry throw those darts, and my God, he could have been sitting there for 155 days, still throwing that dart. I mean, his throws were so pathetic. But before that, I was just looking at the bottom to see if the balloons popped, because they had the balloons there. So I wasn't even watching the throws. I was just like, oh, there goes Tommy's balloon. Oh, there goes Gaz's balloon. There goes PFT's balloon. That was the easiest way to watch this challenge. So I was having a hard time paying attention to the physical part of the game, which has been the most fun part of the game. Cause I was talking about in the last episode, it was great to watch them slam into each other and the cameras are falling off and things are breaking. That's so much fun. Whereas this one, it was, okay, we're going to throw the darts and they're talking about, oh, I'm going to aim here, I'm going to aim there. And they're not being subtle about it. That's fun. But I'm still looking at the bottom to find out who's actually been hit.
Yeah, and even when you see them drop off in the bottom, I don't know who eliminated who. Like, if Tommy loses a balloon, well, who threw it? And at that point also, it's like, we knew it was one of the 3 people that were against him, and that, you know, it's not, you know, super interesting anyway, because we know where the tribes stand. But still a lot of fun. I mean, it's there were some bad throws, and I thought the mug shots were pretty funny too. I think everyone had a pretty good shot.
I mean, the fact that one of the darts bounced off Will Compton's balloon, and then a couple bounced off of Tommy Smokes. And the fact that Will Compton won while a dart bounced off his balloon and then the next one landed on his pole. I thought that was cool. I also thought it was funny. You know, we talk about this from a production standpoint every now and then because you've been on that side of things on shows. When that balloon floated up to the sky, there's no way they were planning for any of those balloons to detach, right? Like, how perfectly did they have to hit that exact spot to launch that up into the air?
Yeah, I mean, it must have, like, hit the thread. I don't know what their connecting mechanism was, tape. But it hit whatever, yeah, whether it was tape or a string, it just ripped it or broke it, and it sends that one up. I think it would have been funny if they're like, Jerry's like, play it where it lies, and then you're throwing it. I could see them, especially if it's not tied down to anything, the balloon yeah. can then, if you hit it, there's nothing pushing force back for it to pop, so it might just move. You have to, like, get it into a corner and then start ripping. I think that honestly might not be the most fair ruling, but in terms of, like, what has been the most fun part of these challenges are all these crazy rules that might not come into play. We don't really like the penalties and everyone yelling and disagreeing. It might have been funny, but, like, hey, let's just leave that one up there, and Tommy is just heaving darts at this, you know, wayward balloon.
You know what the problem with it is? Darts are sharp. And if you're aiming up above people's heads with darts, that can go awry if that bounces the wrong way. Like, let's say it did bounce off the balloon. You don't throw it with enough force and there's nothing holding it there. You throw it, it bounces off that thing. Now it's coming back down to earth and maybe it's coming at somebody. You don't need darts coming from the sky down at
I think that's the perfect, where, you know, we're in an office environment here. Like, you got a first aid kit. They're not that sharp. Like, they're darts. Like, I think that, again, that's something that could only Barstool get away with. Like, I remember Barstool versus America season 2. There was this challenge that we did where it was a slingshot game with water balloons, and you had to go collect the balloons and run down and give it to your team captain, who would then fire them. But the pool of where you would get the balloons were, like, right below the targets. So you're putting people directly in the line of fire. And we even talked, like, this is, like, kind of dangerous. Like, I think we gave them helmets, but I mean, you never see people kind of, you don't shoot towards people really ever, but hey, Barstool's like, no, we will do that. Yeah. Like, we can, we'll have fun with it. We have safety. I mean, I think it would have been fun.
Yeah, I think maybe the next season, Surviving Barstool season 4, they should have whoever can walk by and not get hit by a dart while they're being thrown at, like, the balloons is the winner. You have to get through and hope that you don't get hit and hope that they're hitting
the last one to draw blood or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The last one needs to go to the hospital. But, you know, it was fine. And I think the problem is, and it's the same reason why we all started to hate this challenge in Real Survivor. It's because when the people can team up and who have the numbers make it so obvious that they're going to team up, there's nothing really that the other side can do. I mean, Tommy was saying, oh, it smokes magic. It's just going to keep happening. But it's only a matter of time. Tommy Smokes isn't a professional dart player, so he's not going to go and just start throwing bullseye after bullseye. He's going to miss some too, and he's got three people aiming at him every single time. So it's just kind of like it's a tough challenge. It is what it is. I mean,
it's also like you see this challenge and it's like, okay, I get what you guys are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they all work and they all make content. They're all pretty sharp. Even if you haven't seen Survivor, it's like, oh, you want us to throw it at the people we don't like, and then they're supposed to know about it. And, like, you see that on Survivor now. They're like, yeah, oh, I'm not going to do this. Let's all agree. You haven't been in reward. We saw that in San Juan del Sur with Missy, and Jeff got super pissed. Like, you guys aren't going to play. And, like, it didn't expose anything because everyone has already seen it. It really worked. The best version of this was the first time they did it in season 4. Mm-hmm. And no one had seen, like, what actually was going to be the outcome when you reveal the pegging order of your alliance. And the bottom was like, wait a second, we're on the bottom? You guys were hitting us with your coconuts or whatever the version they used. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's probably another way to do it where it's not as, like, obvious or direct.
Yeah, and I think the other tribe was actually a good one because they didn't have such a line in the sand. So you did have more random. I mean, Che was just like, I said I was just going to keep throwing at Wills, but I was very bad at throwing. And the producer asked, you were throwing the challenge for Will? And he said, yeah, but really he just was so bad. He wasn't trying to let Will win. He was just so bad.
And that's where I actually think if they had been like, all right, Steven, you're up. Here's your three darts. And he's throwing all at Wills and like missing like really badly to one side. People can start calling him out. Like even the other try can be like, you know, Shay's not trying to hit anyone. Steve's not trying to hit anybody. He's playing the middle clearly. And like the other tribe's right there to call it out. If you isolate who's throwing, I think you can maybe pick up on what people are actually going for. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm still an episode behind on House of Villains. I'm just so happy Wences is back. He said his last episode was Heroes. Last season was either Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, or Ghost Island. That tells you how long it's been. But he says what anyone could do is like what they do on Big Brother or House of Villains, where whoever is first eliminated chooses second, gone, and so forth. I mean, I haven't. Is that something that happened in House of Villains? I'm an episode behind on it, so I don't know if that's something.
I don't want to spoil you, but something similar. Yeah, okay. something where I mean, all of the House of Villains challenges are kind of designed to, you know, have people be able to at least kind of work together and plot and pick.
Because the easiest way to do this challenge is you take three darts and you're actually aiming for your own, but that takes the fun out of it. Because if you're aiming for your own, it makes more sense of like, okay, you get three darts. It's hard if Will, you get to shoot first, you go up there, you aim for my three darts and you hit all three of them. Well, now I'm standing there going, okay, well, Will already hit all my stuff and I haven't even gotten a shot yet. You know, like it's a little bit different because there's no
trivia. Yeah, well, that's why they had five targets. If I go 3 for 3 on hitting you, like, you know, you're still alive. You still need someone else to go. I don't know. You work with the numbers so that you make it possible that everybody gets to, you know.
It's a heater. This kind of puts the pressure on, though, right? I mean, you could see Jersey Jerry was like, oh, damn. You know, the pressure's on. Tommy Smokes is still here. Rico's got a couple. He just started throwing terror. I mean, you do not want him to have the ball in the fourth quarter and the game on the line. That is clearly what I learned today with Jersey Jerry shooting those darts. The one main thing, though, and we haven't mentioned it at all 16 minutes in, and I think this is the biggest talking point of this episode because it is so much different than anything you're ever going to see on reality TV. Dave Portnoy is out of the game. Dave Portnoy is doing confessionals. Dave Portnoy is talking about why things went the way they were. Dave Portnoy is trying to make deals with Jersey Jerry about if you want to get back in my good grace, if you want to be unblocked, you need to go vote out PFT. He's not in the game anymore, but he's doing this. What do we think about the fact that Dave Portnoy, who is out of the game, is still being El Prez and doing whatever he was doing in this episode?
I love it. Again, every time we break Survivor rules and we do it again later with the tribal council set up, it's like, and we've talked about it on these first episodes. Here for it. They're working together in an office. Like, in every jury member has this opportunity. I just think they either don't care or they're busy. Like, Dave really cares and he's super competitive and he's like, I want these people out. Like, he like wants those people to feel pain and punishment from him for voting him out. He's still in the jury and he's still in the office. He's still behind the scenes. This is his company. He can still influence the show. So of course he's going to try to do that. So, I mean, we saw it a little bit with Big Cat, I think in whatever that was, episode 2, texting Hank, like, hey, the other guy has found something. Cause you know, Big Cat's in the office working as they all are. I think Hank and Nate were probably like, all right, I got voted out of the show. I don't really care. I'm a jury member. I'll watch the tribals. I'm not going to try to influence anything that happens in the game.
Yeah. And the fact that Dave did this and Jerry has worked there long enough. And I, like I said, I don't really know the history of the Barstool employees so much, but Jerry's worked there long enough that he's not actually just going to cower to Dave and be like, okay, Dave, like I'll do this. It is really a plot point in a story where Dave, I'm not saying Dave's manufacturing it, but Dave is saying it knowing that either way it makes for good content, because either Jerry's going to listen to him and then Dave's going to have his confessional of, even when I'm out of the game, Jersey Jerry's got nothing to do. And then you see him clicking unblock on whatever. And if Jersey Jerry doesn't do it, now it continues to be a storyline, because at this point, Jersey Jerry's probably playing the best game. He really is. Like, he's doing everything he's supposed to. He's lying to the people he needs to. They revealed everything at the beginning of this episode about how he was going about, and they were all respecting his decision to really over-exaggerate how he felt about the Gaz text and everything like that. He's got an idol. It's looking good for Jersey Jerry. But the fact that Portnoy is sitting over there saying, never going to vote for him. He's dead to me. I hate him. Blocked him.
Unfollowed. Yeah, he unfollows him. See that? See, I think that is just like Dave caring a ton, but also knowing like this will piss Jersey Jerry off and like actually wants to get in his head. Like, maybe he's like, maybe if I unfollow him on all social media, I can really convince him that I'm actually super pissed and that like I'm gonna hold a grudge for this after this game is over and into your work in your career for the next however many years, if you don't come talk to me and I tell you, you have to vote a certain way, because that's what Dave wants to do. Dave still wants to play. He's bummed. And even PFT was saying in that tribal council, like, you know what? These games are fun. Like, this is really fun what we're doing. Like, even if he goes home, and maybe this wasn't the craziest episode, but just playing and voting people off and playing Survivor, it is really fun. And even if you don't win, like, Dave's pissed he didn't win. He's pissed he doesn't get to play. Like, he wants to be a puppet master and tell everybody what to do. So, yeah, I think that was a ploy to get under Jersey Jerry. And actually, Jersey Jerry has not been at Barstool all that long, at least really? To my knowledge. I mean, compared to, like, Big Cat, Hank, Bites, KFC, even, like, Gaz, Nate. Like, I think Jersey Jerry is relatively a new face. I want to say maybe, like, 3 years, maybe four. Mm-hmm. Like, not like, one of the OG Barstool.
Well, that's why he's poor and he needs the money. That's why he keeps saying, like, that's why they feel bad for him. They don't want to vote him out because they want him to have the chance to win the $100,000. Like, Dave, if you really want Jersey Jerry to have $100,000, give him a freaking bonus of $100,000. But it's the game element of it. Like, we're dead.
Yeah, he's like, I want him to have a chance to win. He doesn't have money. He needs it.
And if you follow
Jersey Jerry's picks on sports advisors and his betting picks, you know why he doesn't have a lot of money.
Yeah. And I'm going to plug myself real quick. I write for a couple different websites, and I wrote for Betting Pros this week. They're long shot bets, and they were all plus 525 or higher odds, and somebody parlayed them and they hit. It was plus 18,800 to hit. He parlayed my three long shot bets and it actually hit. So I just have to throw that out there. It's absolutely insane.
These are long shot, like, game props. They're not like futures or anything. If they are,
no. It was like it's under 7.5 team total for the New England Patriots, and that was like plus 500. And then it was exactly one touchdown in the Jets game when they played Atlanta, and I forget what the other one was, but all three of them hit. And you know, if you're gonna hit one of those anyway, you'd be like, holy shit, I just turned $100 into $525. That's great. This guy parlayed it. $5 won $945 on a bet that he just, like, almost misunderstood what I told him to do.
And you definitely didn't get paid that much for writing that article.
Absolutely not.
You should have parlayed your own picks.
I didn't parlay my own picks because if I had done that every week, I would have been in such a hole that I probably would have deleted the app off my phone by now. But still, all you have to – you parlay that one time and you hit that, it doesn't matter what I did the other 12 weeks.
That's what I mean. Just got $5 just to, yeah.
Couldn't believe it. I mean, sometimes you're brilliant, sometimes you're not. But Jersey Jerry, if you need to fade or follow me. Anyway, so I do believe that, you know, in terms of, like, all the behind the scenes stuff, it's very fun. And I will say what you brought up a point before of Survivor just is fun. This whole element is fun. And I'll say it a million times. If you have, like, enough friends, no matter what age you are, you guys could even do this when you're just, like, getting drunk. You ever get the chance to put each other into this type of situation for, like, a birthday party or something like that of, like, we're going to go after each other for 12 hours today. It doesn't have to be 5 days. It doesn't have to be, you know, a long thing. But even if it's one day, people get so into this type of thing because you want to pretend that you are the mastermind. And Tommy Smokes is giving CBS level confessionals in these episodes when he's talking about it. And he is loving it the same way that the people who are playing Survivor love it, because it is just so addicting. And it's such a fun little, you're literally telling people that they're stupider than you and you're smarter than them. And you're going to figure out how to vote them out of the game, no matter what is on the line. I mean, it could be a 12 pack of Coronas on the line. Great. I want to win that. I want to beat you and outsmart you and have people tell me that I'm better than you at this game for a 12 pack.
Well said. Yeah. I mean, I played this like a summer camp one time. It wasn't like it was like a Boy Scouts thing. Like, when I was like 10. And so, like, we all went to this, like, campsite with our families and stuff. We had probably, I don't know, 12 to 15 of us, and we set up Survivor in the Woods. Yeah. And it was just, like, made up challenges, how to trap accounts, like the whole thing. And it was fun. Yeah. I mean, the PFT's right. It's fun. Yeah.
It's fun. And you can tell that they're having fun with it. And as it's going on longer and longer, they're enjoying it more and more because they're starting to, all of a sudden it starts hitting your head. You start getting the Jim Halpert thing, you know, where you're like, you're just going to turn and stare at the camera that isn't there. And I know that there are cameras obviously around them, but it's they're starting to feel like, ooh, like I am the star of this story. I really am. And
yeah,
and
well, like I've gotten this far. Like I can't believe we've merged. There's been what, four tribal councils?
Six people.
Yeah, almost half the cast is gone and I'm still standing. Like if I just make it a little bit further, I know these people, I work with these people. Yeah, I mean you get into it.
You get excited. Yeah. And that's where I'm excited to see what they do with the individual portion, because I think the individual portion will be a good time. And I think you'll start to get people really butting heads and things like that. Again, I haven't seen like this episode was lacking a little bit of what those first four episodes had, which was just the pure insanity. But maybe that's because Rico Bosco won. So there was nobody to really just like go absolutely batshit. But I've never seen what they do in an individual game on Surviving Barstool. I mean, tonight was individual, but you know what I mean?
Where yeah, they've it's had some, they've had some really good ones.
Yeah. What do they generally do? Like, what have they done in the first two seasons when they get to this point? Because I see there's blocks and things like that, but is that all that's going on?
I think they try to mix up what they do. I think that looks like to be a memory challenge, which is always going to be good with Barstool guys trying to do memory or anything, you know, in that nature where they're putting blocks and remembering a series of things. That was fun on Barstool versus America because they get so mad. I mean, memory is fun to play with. But no, I remember there was one last season with like an egg that you had to get up a cage, which was really, really fun with a spoon. Like it's like two spoons outside of a cage and work the egg up with the two spoons. They've done some kind of carnival style games. I mean, kind of what we've seen. Trying to remember more of them, but they've always been good.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, that makes the most sense. Do it like what you would do with high schoolers, right? Like a field day thing or middle schoolers or whenever the heck field day was. But you're doing those types of things where anybody can do them, but people who are really competitive are going to get pissed off at it. So who do you think is going to win? Who do you got? Well, you're reading this winner's edit the same way you would watch any other reality TV show, right? I mean, it's clearly there's a clear winner's edit going on here.
There might be. It's hard to totally say. I don't know. It's more difficult reading an edit of something like this, especially when the people all know each other, and then them as, you know, storytellers putting episodes together, they know that you know these people already. At least I know most people do. Phil, you're not familiar with everybody. I'm not even familiar with everybody. But I gotta say, like, Kirk and Gaz were like the two people I knew the least. So for them to be gone, I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of everyone left in the game. Yeah. So it's hard because they're editing to play up in the character. Like fights today, when he's like asking Jeff, like, wait, what do I do to like not get votes? Or like, what is this working? And then he's like, I can't tell you. I can't help you with that. And then at Tribal, he asks him, so what was your strategy? And he kind of just goes, huh? Like, I didn't talk to anybody. That's kind of fights his humor a little bit. And he's playing it up. And the show also wants that's kind of a funny beat. Like, this guy's not strategizing. But if we look at what happened with votes, I mean, KFC and Fights knew they had Steven on their side and knew it was going to be 3-2. And so, like, Fights didn't need to scramble. He's obviously not he's not going to feign scrambling like maybe someone who's a big Survivor super fan would. He's just like, I don't know, like, I feel good. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to strategize because we have the votes. So I don't think everyone's kind of as maybe out of the game or not paying attention as much as it may seem. They're all playing into their Barstool characters and roles.
Yeah. Now, so do you think that was the right move for Steven or Che, whatever they go back and forth on him. Do you think it was the right move for him to go against Will and Kirk, who voted for Fights? Like, I don't know everybody's interpersonal relationships that well. Che is saying he wants to play boring. How do you hang out with these guys all the time and be boring? I don't get it.
See, I think it's good for the show. Like, just KFC and Fights are OG Barstool people. And, like, you kind of want those people to be in the merge, especially if we've looked at who's been eliminated. Like, Dave's already gone. Big Cat was the first boot. Hank is, you know, a Barstool mainstay. So, like, the boot order so far, if we're talking, like, you know, All-Stars, Winners at War, or, like, some of these seasons where you bring people back, and you're like, oh, man, like, all our favorites went out. Like, if we had lost, like, KFC or Fights here, It just doesn't help the.
I feel like I don't know fights at all, to be totally honest.
Yeah, no, he has not had a big presence on this season.
Yeah. And you had said in the first episode that we did here, you were like, fights used to be your favorite guy. You used to think he was the funniest or whatever it was. And as somebody who didn't know that fights was a human being until 5 days ago, I don't feel like I know him at all. Out of everybody there, I feel like I know him the least.
He and KFC do KFC radio, okay. Which they've been doing for like, man, I want to say over 10 years.
That's
like,
one of the OG things.
It was the first Barstool podcast before podcasts were like a big thing. And they would have, you know, Big Cat was on that too. Everyone was up, but they still do it. Like just him, fights and KFC, and they're great.
Yeah. I KFC is easier to know because I didn't know who KFC was. I didn't know what he looked like or anything like that. Cause I never listened to that podcast, but KFC always was an easy one because it's KFC. So you would hear, oh, KFC. Yeah. That's Barstool. You know who that is. That's going to stay in your head. PFT stayed in my head too, because I don't know what PFT actually stands for, but I know what Pro Football Talk at NBC. I just think it's funny that this is the same initials.
So. Oh, well, that's where it comes from. So basically, you don't know this. So basically PFT, his nickname is PFT Commenter, because I think that was his handle or username on the PFT website. It was just be called PFT Commenter. Mm-hmm. And he would write these really funny comments and troll and just, you know, he's a super into the NFL. So really smart, clever message board jokes basically. And so that's how he became famous on the internet for his writing and his comments as PFT Commenter. And then he kind of parlayed that into a job. I think one of the other guy sites that isn't Barstool. I'm Deadspin maybe.
Trivia. Is that a thing?
I think Deadspin, I want to say.
Okay.
But then he got a podcast with Big Cat at Barstool. So yeah, that's where it is the same PFT.
Okay. Got it. Okay. That makes total sense. Yeah. I'm literally looking him up right now on Twitter. You know, I should be a little bit more on this, but I think it's fun to kind of go through this because I think there's probably a lot of people who are like me, who maybe like Survivor and are watching this because it's being pushed in front of them, or they know who the big guns are, but they don't know who everybody else is. Maybe not. I mean, we got a comment today on Twitter, and you know what? Well, you said let's read some comments. So I just want to read this one because I thought this was a really good one. This is from Jackson Wait Himmel. Listening to one host just be stubbornly completely wrong about Tommy writing that clue is insane. Did he even watch? But then he keeps listening and he enjoyed watching the podcast. So I told him to give you time. You're reestablishing yourself as a specialist. It's just going to take a little bit.
No, I was watching. I don't think I was reading the subtitles, and I was just kind of like, okay, Tommy, I don't think I could fit Rico writing a fake note. Like, I don't think he would play that hard. It just didn't compute, or didn't permeantute with me.
Permeantute. I love that. Permeantute. You just made a worse word. Permeantute. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. No, I'll be honest. I know very little about these guys. I never got as into the Barstool thing. I never really, I mean, it's funny because as somebody who does, you know, sports betting writing and things like that, I never got as into the sports like world on the internet as everybody else did. It was never something that really attracted.
You're not even watching for the sports analysis, or bettors aren't winning. Like their picks, you see their win percentages, they're not high. Yeah. And the when they have even their other podcasts that are about sports, it's not X play. I mean, some X players, but it's not hard hitting analysis. You're watching for entertainment. It's because the people and personalities are entertainment, and they're talking about a topic that you know about or care about, like the NFL or college football or whatever the topic is, but it's not like the hard hitting stats or analysis that you would go to for, you know, really deep sports research.
Yeah. Which is why 90% of America can't win a bet. If this is where the bettors are going, this is what happened.
Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, you should watch the sports advisors. They do it every week. It's Big Cat, Dave, Jerry, Stu Finer, who is an OG.
Yeah, I know. What is it, Uncle Stu, or is it Cousin Stu? What is it?
No, that's a different podcast. That's Cousin Sal.
Cousin Sal.
No, but it's Stu Finer. And then Tommy, sometimes he sits at a stats table and just brings up betting trends that, you know, sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. But it's over the top. It's a good time. It's a fun show.
He's the source. That's what he is. I knew he did have a nickname. He's the source. Yeah. Stu the source. And then,
He's insane. He would have been actually so good if they want to bring back like some heavy hitters for a fourth season, even include like, hey, include Big Cat and Dave again. Just we want to see the heavy hitters. Stu would be just an insane person on a show like this.
I have seen plenty of videos of Stu. If I knew exactly who Stu was, and I've seen plenty of videos of him losing bets and losing his freaking mind, and it's glorious. It really is. 10 out of 10. All right, back to whatever the hell is going on over here. Something's going on over here. They voted out Gaz instead of voting out Tommy. Stupidest thing ever, or does that make sense?
Hard to say. I think it's hard to say. We kind of think it's dumb because Tommy, I mean, he always wiggles his way to the end. He's always a target every time on these shows, and he just finds a way to sneak in, and you think, oh, no one's worried about Tommy. And then he ends up winning. I do think if Tommy makes it to the end, he will have a chance to win. I just don't see him actually getting to the end. I think their thinking is like, let's bring him along. He's such a huge target. I mean, he's a shield. That's what kind of PFT and Jerry and Rico were discovering. I think like, let's bring him. And then that's where votes will go. People want Tommy gone. Like, they're not calling it a shield in Survivor terms, but that's what he is. Yeah. And then Gaz, on the other hand, Gaz to me is kind of a behind the scenes guy. But I've heard his name for, I mean, probably he's been there, I think, a very, very long time. And he's probably friends with, he's probably close to everybody. And he's not like, again, I think not a huge on-screen content creator. And mm-hmm. So I think he could get votes at the end. He's one of those guys where he's like not the heavy face, but he's been there forever, knows everyone. That's a guy we want to see win. That's a guy we want to have $100,000 because there is real money here. And I think that's probably kind of threatening.
I do feel like, though, these are the types of guys who, if Tommy made it to the final three again, they would say, you morons, let this kid make it to final three. Of course, we're going to vote for Tommy to win. What is wrong with you? Why would you let him get to the end? That feels like what they would do.
See, I think it'd be half and half. That, because that's what would happen on other shows. Just like, hey, it's boring seeing this guy win. I'm not voting for you, even though I think you played the best game and outsmarted everyone. I don't want to see you keep winning. This is boring. Mm-hmm. I forget who said, I think that was Vibs who said that on one of the shows. So also, they won't all vote together. As we've been seeing in Survivor recently, it's pretty unanimous. You get like one stray vote because that person wants to award second place to somebody out of the final three. Mm-hmm. But the juries have been kind of really agreeing with everyone on, at least in Survivor. I think in the Barstool world, you will have like heated jury discussion. People will absolutely not just all come together and vote one way.
Yeah. That makes sense. I like that more. I mean, they're unpredictable and I feel like they don't give a crap about the groupthink thing. And that's why they're doing what they're doing. So, I mean, I just feel like if Tommy is such a little weasel, man, like, cause that he's playing Survivor against a bunch of people who don't know how to play Survivor. And that's what's really fun about it is Tommy is doing exactly what the strategist with a huge target on his back would do on Survivor. And it's like they realize it, but that's his argument. It's the same thing Sandra did. Just don't let, like, if you sit at the end next to a winner, you're going to win. So Sandra said, of course I'm not going to win. Like, just take me to the end. It's you know, whatever. And Russell really thought that if he went to the end sitting again next to two winners, he'd win. Sandra won because they like Sandra. And they said, you are idiots. You let her get here. I mean, that's... you know what? She would have won Game Changers too if she sat at final three of that season. So it's crazy how Tommy really is pulling from the real Survivor game in this show. And, you know, some of them, like you said, they might be bigger fans than they're letting on. But Tommy is like...
Yeah, no one's a bigger fan than Tommy. Yeah. Tommy's definitely the biggest. And again, I think Dave watches it at least. But no, I'm sure half the people remaining have never seen an episode. So that's fun. That's the mix we want. That's what I want to see on Real Survivor. Like, I don't want everyone to be a super fan and play the same way. Like some of these conversations, like Tommy's having with Rico, and Rico's even like, yeah, he's on the bottom. He's a bit desperate, but he kind of makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. this makes sense to me. I got to kind of be open to this.
Yeah. And I think that's why you're seeing everybody's kind of like half in with each other. They're all like, you know, what Che had his back in August, we started making this deal. okay, but I mean, come on.
It's that's been, fun too. Like they're bringing on pre-game alliances, which they never will talk about in Real Survivor.
Well, they did in season 40. Winners at War, they talked about pre-game alliances.
They did, okay.
A lot.
Okay.
A lot. So, you know, they will. They just try not.
If they're forced to. Like if, yeah. if it plays that big of a role in the outcome of the show, it's like we kind of have to tell like how you guys got together.
Yeah.
I didn't even answer your question though on who's going to win.
You so did. You never answer my question. I mean, why would you?
Who's going to win? I'm going to go PFT. I'm going to go PFT. He right now, I think he's the funniest guy at Barstool, so might as well just put my wad in with him. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's kind of game aware. He's not super savvy, but I think he's aware enough. I think this move with Tommy tonight shows you that he's actually thinking further ahead and not just like, oh, let's just take Tommy out because we have a chance. It's like, wait, no, I can bring him with me and then people will target him. That's a survivor strategy we have been seeing for seasons now. And he's probably never seen an episode and he came up with that on his own. Not that it's like that hard to come up with, but I got to give him credit.
Yeah, no. And I agree. I agree with you that it was good gameplay, even if they don't necessarily even like realize how good it was. You know, I'm going to say he's going to win. I'm going to go with the person who I think is going to be dragged and get to final three and then actually be able to make a somewhat compelling argument. I'm going to go Rico Bosco. I'm going to pick Rico.
I could see that. That'd be really fun. I mean, he's been your favorite since episode one.
I love him. He is so fun. So
frustrated. The montage of him losing his composure.
Dude, he's so good.
So that's what I was telling you on like right when we started this podcast. I was like, no, that is Rico. Like Rico always flips out.
Yeah. No, I'm a big fan, and that's who I'd be saying was going to win right now. I feel like, you know, he's in a good alliance. If PFT and Jerry want to take him to the final three, they will. They'll think they'll beat him. And I could see Dave and stuff being like, no, Rico played a better game. You know, he just won an immunity. How much are these guys going to value immunity? I don't know. But they're probably going to value it more than people in regular Survivor do.
He's got a great story, too, where he's like the worst in the first challenge. And then he's just like gotten better and better. Like he can probably sell that. I think people would do a better job at fighting for Rico's win on the jury than Rico would be to explain it himself.
100%.
Like he'd just be like, I played hard, I won challenges, always kind of went with the numbers, and you vote for me, you know. And then the jury, like Dave, would just explain everything that Rico actually did, or whoever else is on the jury that wants to give him a vote.
Yeah, that's who I'm hoping. That's who I'm pulling for.
That would be funny. It would probably be earned. I think PFT is in kind of a good spot. I think it helps him that Big Cat and Hank are both gone because those are his like PMT, his Pardon My Take crew. Uh-huh. So he doesn't have like this big alliance. Everyone's like, we have to target PFT because he's in like the power position. So who knows though? I mean, this is so much, this feels more unpredictable than an average season of Survivor. Like this could go anyway.
Yeah. And somebody had said like, they commented and said, you know, you're trying to figure out the read. Let me pull it up because they tweeted at me and they said, you know, you're trying to figure out who's going to win this season. And I said, I have no idea who's going to win this season, but I do want to bring up something with that. It was, where is it here? Funniest part about it was Smorp, just S-M-O-R-P. Funniest part about watching Survivor Barstool is me reading the edit as if the same winner edit typically on Survivor. And this is, you know, he's saying me, meaning himself, Smorp. And I agreed. And I was like, you know, I'm sitting here and I have no idea what's going on. Any of the 10 left could win and I'd be satisfied. However, there is an edit going on here. It might not be a normal winner's edit, but there is an edit going on that is making you give a crap about certain people. Like they're not, at this point, I don't think Fights would win because I don't know Fights. So
Fights could win. Cause like he hasn't been integral to any of the votes and hasn't had like a big blow up. Like it could just be coming later. And that's how they want to put it together. It is funny. I agree with. I think the funniest part of this, his name is Schmorp. I mean,
yeah, Schmorp.
You were going through your whole spiel there and said Schmorp with like a dead straight face. It's like, man, what a weird name, Schmorp. I mean, thanks for tweeting, but yeah, I don't know. I agree with Schmorp though that reading an edit is probably, probably a difficult task.
Probably a little bit of a waste of time.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. You have anything else you want to bring up on this episode? It just officially hit December 6th where I am. So, you know, I got to ask, but
I don't care that it's December 6th, but I don't have any. I think we made our winner picks.
Yeah.
Emerge is here. So we got what, one more tomorrow?
Yeah, and then we get a little break. So we're not gonna be podcasting tomorrow. They're gonna be podcasting Thursday. So tomorrow, if you're like Wences Acosta and you are back for the first time in 8 years or whatever the heck it's been. Welcome back. Hi, how's it going? Alex is going to be live recapping the real Survivor season, Survivor 45, that's going on right now. Episode 11 should be with John and McKenna at 9:35. I won't be on it because I'm going to be with Johnny Fairplay at his event down here in Fort Lauderdale. Which, by the way, if you're listening to this and you live in Fort Lauderdale, it's your lucky night because that event is free if you RSVP. So reach out to Johnny Fairplay and RSVP and go to the event because it's going to be a good time. Otherwise, we'll be back on Thursday then. To actually break down Surviving Barstool Season 3, Episode 6. And we'll be talking about, what did we land? We landed on like noon Eastern time. That was like about what we landed on, something like that.
Sure.
Something like that. We're going to be in that range. So it'll be during the day. You West Coasters will be waking up to the joyousness that is Will and Phil. That does not sound right. Phil and Will talking about Surviving Barstool Season 3. So hope you're enjoying this. Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
I like it.
No, it sounds terrible. Like, there's never been an easier decision to put my name first. It just doesn't work. But thank you everybody for listening. Hope you're enjoying it. It seems like people are. I almost feel like we're killing it. It's kind of funny, but I feel like we are. So thank you all for listening. We will see you on Thursday. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Will, you want to say anything?
No.
Good. I'm ending it.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.